Welcome, welcome. This is Radio RMN. My name is Braylon Allen, and today is Tuesday, November 23rd, and we've got something going on in North and South Korea that we are praying is not the run-up to World War III. My guest today is Mike Philbin. You probably know him best as Free Planet. He works with all of us over at abledanger.net, he is an incredibly talented Oxford, UK-based artist and writer. He is the man, but before he was known as Free Planet, he had a whole other life. And we're going to talk a lot about that whole other life that he had. He's the man behind the subversive keyboard entity, Herzen Chimera, R.I.P., who terrorized the horror community for over 10 years, writing such books as, and there's no way I'm going to get these pronounced correctly, Shimanfu, Animal Instinct, The Hoo-Hoo Are Coming, Twilight's Less Gleaming, and he's the editor of the annual Chimera World anthology from Chimericana Books. His latest novels, The Anti-Corporate Horror Bukkake World and The Angel Apocalypse Planet of the Owls, and both of those are available through Silver Thought Press. Mike, there's so much that we need to cover today, but we've got 3 hours. Why don't we go in to what in the world is this Herzen Chimera? Was that your pen name back then?
Yeah, it was a pen name. First question, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. And I hope people in the chat room will let us know if they can hear you and me loud and clear.
Well, hello from Oxford.
Yes, hello from Oxford.
Yeah, Herzen Chimera was a... I used to write fake science articles, and for a laugh. And this was one example of them. Basically, it was a magazine, a paper magazine, run by Pam Kreis, called Dementia 13. And I pitched the idea to her, and she goes, "Yeah, go for it. It'll be a great laugh." And I wrote this this science article about light traveling backwards, and. And it just sort of, I made the name up for the sort of neutron-like entity that spins space and time backwards. And it was called a Herzen Chimera because it kept going in and out of phase, and it was all very sort of ghostly and didn't really exist because it was made up. And,
that's great. Yeah, that's great.
I like the name, so it stuck, and I did that for 10 years.
Well, my God. How many books did you write during those 10 years? And were they actual books? Were they comic books? Were they, you know, little paperbacks? Or what were they?
I will write mostly surrealist fiction. So if you like surrealism in your art and in your cinema, then you might like it in your books as well. There you go.
And so they are still available through this New York Silver Thought Press, is that correct?
Yes, the last two were brought out in 2008, and I've been sort of all over I've been all over the place working on very many different things since then. So
you are one of these Renaissance people. Do you know, I can remember
I have a special pair of shoes, yeah with a nice Cuban heel.
Yeah. Years ago, I was asked to join something. I can't even remember what it was, some women's group. And they asked me to fill out, what I do. So I listed every single thing that I did. And they said, "You're all over the place. We can't handle people that are all over the place." And they never wrote back. And did you find that with you, that you're into so many things that people don't want to invite you to do lectures or anything?
Well, people like specialists.
Exactly.
And they can't really deal with someone who's just interested in something.
Yeah,
and they don't really know how to structure any conversation with them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about North Korea to at least say we've covered it. What do you think is going on over there?
Oh, wow. I heard about it this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been in the house since. I did a little blog on the Free Planet blog about it, and it just seems very strange. I haven't heard anything much today at all, have you?
What is very interesting is, no. I've had Fox News on, I've switched to CNN. Fox News, shortly before we came on the air, is interviewing, I can't even remember what her name is, but she's that psychologist who is the Jewish psychologist who writes about sex. So they, rather than talking about what could potentially become World War III, they've got a sex therapist on?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that really... wow. I don't know what to make of it.
Put it this way, the only decent image I could find to illustrate my little blog post about the North and South Korea allegedly exchanging artillery fire this morning was a very, very touching picture of Madeleine Albright and Kim Jong-il cracking glasses together.
Do you remember
that
visit by Madeleine Albright to North Korea? I mean, she literally looked like she was getting ready to have sex with this little guy. They rolled out the biggest...
That's an image I'll never get out of my mind.
Oh, God. The biggest party for her, and there she is, just enjoying it, enjoying all of this attention that this communist idiot is, pouring out on her like it was the most incredible thing that had ever happened to her in her life. And you can see from the picture that you chose, that is exactly, look at the smiles on their faces, as I said. I mean, can't you just imagine that they're getting ready, they just got married and they're going to have sex in the next couple of minutes? I mean, look at them, that's what they look like. The bride and groom toasting each other.
Should we give out the address of the blog so people can find it?
Oh, please, go ahead, you give that out.
Okay, it's Mike Philbin, one word. blogspot.com. Philbin is spelled P-H-I-L-B-I-N. So it's mikephilbin.blogspot.com. And just go and have a look.
Well, it's a great picture of Madeleine Albright and the little the little dictator. And I don't even know if he's still alive. We don't know who's running North Korea at the moment. They've got one of his sons standing in the wings, getting ready to become the leader of North Korea. But we don't know whether this man that is in the picture, what is that, Kim Il-jung?
Kim Jong-il.
North Korea is probably the most mysterious of all countries, to the Western world, because we really don't have a clue of what is going on over there. A few years ago, when Google Earth first came out with all of the photographs of North Korea, I must have been...
There's a big square over North Korea, was it? Just a single pixel?
No. You could get in, you could see the buildings, you could then click on the photographs, you could see everything. And what is really amazing is it didn't look that much different than South Korea.
Yeah.
And yet, just a couple of days ago, on our news, someone showed a satellite view of North Korea at night versus South Korea at night. Of course, South Korea is totally lit up and North Korea is dark. But if anybody wants to really... I think this is a false image that we have of North Korea. Because after I did all of my Google Earthing and I was actually looking for their secret nuclear base, and I think I found it, by the way. But after I finished, spending 3 months looking at North Korea, I decided that they are every bit as advanced as South Korea. And we're just not being told that. And all anyone has to do is download Google Earth and spend 3 months wandering through North Korea. You'll come to that That's
3 months. Yeah, imagine, well, 3 months on Google Earth.
That was in the days when I had time. I no longer have time.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk about Free Planet, because
okay.
you once said that one of the reasons behind Free Planet is negative imprinting reaction to Prison Planet. What do you mean by that?
Well, okay, I mean, I probably still am a big fan of Alex Jones. I mean, he's woken a lot of people up, and he's made them think about where they sit in the world and all that. And I'm a big fan of Prison Planet. And I was just thinking that it's really quite negative. If you think about what the words actually mean, it's reinforcing. It's reinforcing the prison and the planet. Whereas if you go for something like Free Planet, then it sort of reinforces the fact that you shouldn't really be paying anyone to breathe, to go to the toilet, to drink water, or to eat food. Sort of obvious.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, what do you mean when you say renounce your conditioning, country, personhood, and crime?
Ah, this is brilliant. Okay, right. Imagine that you're out in space, and you come across this. You come across this sort of planet, and you sort of land on it, and you find these people on it. Wouldn't it be really strange to understand or to sort of witness these people stopping at the French border before they get to Germany, or stopping at the Russian border before they sort of move over into whatever the neighbor of Russia is? And it's like, it's really sort of, the person landing on a planet would go, why are you not just going wherever you want on the land? Why is it so important to be a part of a country? I mean, apart from the fact that you are, you know, owned as a chattel by your country's corporation, in effect. Apart from that.
I can understand the renounce your conditioning and country. There are many of us on Rumor Mill who realized many years ago that Rumor Mill was more of a country than our countries are, because we are more in line with each other's thinking than our next door neighbor is, than the person that lives next door to you. And many years ago, we had the idea of making Rumor Mill News into its own country and issuing diplomatic passports and things like that.
Yeah.
And now Facebook has something like, 150 million people? Facebook could actually do something like that. You know, literally offer Facebook passports. But
I wouldn't be a really big fan of that, would I?
Well, I think it would be kind
that would go against my entire thing.
What do you mean renouncing your personhood and crime?
Well, you are a capital letters person, as denoted by your birth certificate, and how that relates to being used on the stock exchange, with relation to your country being able to get loans.
Okay, now explain that. Explain that to people who don't know what you're talking about.
I forget who it was now. When you're born, you have to register your birth. Mm-hmm. And this birth certificate that everyone, you know, innocently goes, tacitly goes along with. Oh, hey, upset.
Ah, did something happen?
A short wine break introduced itself.
No.
I'm better now.
Okay.
What happens, you get a birth certificate, you then become a itemized bit of property for your country, so you're registered as being the property of, say, England or America, and then if England or America wants to take out a loan, they can use you as a guarantee against, you know, future earnings. It's all very, very clever.
You know, Mike, when I was doing some family research in Mississippi, Corinth, Mississippi, at the county offices, I found one of my grandmother's bill of sales to her sister. And it was a bill of sales for cattle and horses and bucks, B-U-C-K, bucks.
Yes.
The buck were the slaves that she was selling.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I am when I just heard you speak, what I heard you say is our birth certificates are our slave identity bracelets, shall we say.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying, is that correct?
Yes.
And we everyone
on the planet, who belongs to a country by a birth certificate and a national insurance number is a slave.
Everyone
listening to this show, in the world, north, south, east, and west, are slaves of corporate duty. That's a simple fact.
And that is a simple fact. Has anybody ever put a price on us? I mean,
it runs into the millions per person. It's quite an expensive. We generate quite a lot of heat, and money.
Okay. Now here's a question that you may or may not have thought of. In a war, say World War II, Japan and Germany and Italy were the villains, supposedly. Okay, now they killed X number of the slaves. Okay, the question is that what they paid reparations for? And I hear the music, and we'll be right back with Mike Philpin, and he can answer that question. You're listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. And please remember how to vote over on TalkStream Live. And if you don't know how to vote, I'll explain it later.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Orgon Clockbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climate and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Edge of the Sword, where the Word of God meets life today. www.edgeofthesword.com.
In George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation, he recommended that we all, quote, unite in rendering unto God our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, end quote. Friends, a country or nation consists of individuals. This Thanksgiving, do your part to unite and offer your humble thanks for God's kind care and protection.
Join Rafe at www.edgeofthesword.com. Be all you can be in God's army today.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
And welcome back. This is Raylan, and you are listening to Radio RMN, and my guest is Mike Philbin. And I asked him
hello.
A question. Yes, hello. And Mike, I asked you a question about reparations. What do you think of that? Do you think that the reparations are actually the amount of money that the losers pay for killing the slaves of the other corporation or plantation?
Plantation's a beautiful word. That is an absolutely sort of horrible question. The implications, I mean, horrible. I can't believe that that's the way the world actually is, that some numbers are being shuffled around and some deals are being made on the back end of millions of debt. Is that really how it works?
Well, I think it is. I mean, I'm beginning to think that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to think that's the way it is.
It's just too bad, isn't it? It's just too terrible.
We've got these monsters that are running the world. And, yeah, I think they're playing chess with all of us little people that they consider their slaves. And when the enemy that they're playing chess with loses, then that enemy has to pay them for all of the slaves that they lost.
Yeah. Very bad. It's very, very bad. I mean, one thing about this is that I don't necessarily know if that's the way that the wars are structured. It'd be terrible if it was, but I sort of did hear that that the death camps, you know, Auschwitz and Dachau and all those places, were known about long before the end of the war by the the good guys? I don't know.
I agree. No. Who are the good guys?
It's really hard to speculate.
I know. There is, I can't even think what his name is right at the moment, but he was a very wealthy New York Jewish soap maker. And he was a friend with Bernard Baruch. He was in on the planning of Israel. He was in on all of the major things that happened in the lead up to World War II, in the aftermath of World War II, and then finally he woke up and realized what is going on and spent all of his wealth trying to wake up the world as to what is really going on. And when he laid out the cause of World War I and the cause of World War II, he dropped it right in the lap of what we know as the Khazar Jews, the people who are not Hebrews, the ones that liked the Jewish philosophy, and so the king converted everybody. And what were they called before they were called Khazars? I almost want to say that it was the Caucasian Empire, or was it the Khazarian Empire? But it was a very, very powerful empire, and then the whole empire became Jewish. And I believe that there is a real difference between Hebrew Jews and Khazarian Jews. And I think the ones that are behind most of the crap that's going on are these Khazarians. And that was what this Benjamin Friedman, I think, was his name. Everybody go to YouTube and put in Benjamin Friedman, and I think it was at the Waldorf. Maybe it wasn't the Waldorf, but it was a hotel in Washington, D.C., and it's that speech at that hotel, and it will wake you up like nothing has ever awakened you.
But of course there's the great big sort of corporate war machine propaganda unit, isn't there? Over there in Hollywood, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of films that come out that just seem to clean things up narratively, tidily.
Right.
Flight 93, World Trade Center, you know, Victor Boot, as he's called, you know, the Lord of War,
and all these... I don't know that Lord of War.
Ooh, Lord of War, you've got to see that. A great film. It's a good film, actually.
That's not Nicolas Cage, is it?
Yes.
I swear to God, he seems to be in all these films. Yeah, I swear to God, that was about my husband, my ex-husband Gunter.
Really?
Everybody thought Adnan Khashoggi was the number one arms dealer in the whole world. Well, Adnan Khashoggi's handler was my husband Gunter. So Nicolas Cage played such a perfect role in that. I mean, it was really magnificent.
That was a great film.
Yeah, it was.
I generally don't like Nicolas Cage as an actor, but he was good in that, and he was good in the Leaving Las Vegas film.
He was really good in that. That one I didn't see, but I do watch National Treasure every time it comes on because it just gives you such an uplifting feeling. And I know that there really is that treasure, that kind of treasure, buried in vaults that were created by Japanese engineers in the 20s because they knew, the sovereigns of the world knew that the Second World War was coming on and many countries were going to be bombed into the Stone Age. Yeah. Oh, God. Mike, have you thought... I mean, let's go back to Korea. If we have a nuclear war and the EMP blasts over the major countries, that means we have no electricity, no water, no gas, no television, no radio, unless you've got one of those old radios with the tubes in.
Yes.
I mean, once said that with the Earth, you leave it better than you found it, meaning a return to a rewilded planet, no more cities.
Yep.
And it's almost like if we had this gigantic EMP attack, a lot of people would die, of course.
Well, I have to defend Free Planet right away, in fact, because Free Planet does not condone nuclear war.
but you see what I am saying.
No, certainly, yes.
An EMP attack would accomplish exactly what you're talking about. The people in the cities
I think
not
my vision of a rewilded planet with no more cities, actually there's quite a few reasons why.
And let's talk about on the other side of the planet. On the other side of the break.
Let's swap countries.
I can hear the music. At least I thought I'd hear the music. Well, anyway, we're going to break now. We'll be back.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Or Gun Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climate and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E Products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Edge of the Sword, where the Word of God meets life today. www.edgeofthesword.com. In George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation, he recommended that we all, quote, unite in rendering unto God our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, end quote. Friends, a country or nation consists of individuals. This Thanksgiving, do your part to unite and offer your humble thanks for God's kind care and protection. Join Rafe at www.edgeofthesword.com. Be all you can be in God's army today.
This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. This is Raylan. You're listening to Radio RMN, and my guest today is Mike Philpin from the UK, and oh my gosh, have we talked about a lot of things. But right at the moment, I want to remind everyone of the Guardians of the People. You can go to guardiansofthepeople.com. That's Sherry Edwards' new project. She is going to be training people to do what she does, how to analyze the voice, how to take a voice print, how to analyze what the person needs, and how to play the voice print back to the person. They are even creating solar tone boxes so that this can be used, if we do lose civilization. And part of the money that she is getting for the sign-ups of Guardians of the People, if you put that you were referred by Rumor Mill News, will go to Rumor Mill News and help pay for this radio show. So just remember, go over and check out guardiansofthepeople.com. As we all know, the Health Care Act has fallen. Canada has lost a lot of their supplements. Just last week, in a headline that nobody ever saw, chelation products are being taken off the market. I bought a lifetime supply of chelation products several years ago, so I have them if I ever need them. I don't know whether I will or not. But anyway, take a look at Guardians of the People, and if you sign up, make sure that you tell Sherry, that you were referred by Rumor Mill News. I'm talking with Mike Philbin, and I want to...
Still here.
Before we get back to you, Mike, I want to say, everybody who is on a computer and listening to us on a computer, get into the chat room. That's chatroom.themicroeffect.com, and join the conversation that is taking place there right now. And so, and in the chat room, we're discussing the Moors. Did you look at that, Mike?
You know, I've on the Wednesday, because I listen to the Wednesday show. I'm in the chat room all the time. It's a sort of a nice alternative to the show, and it adds details, and it sort of drives itself around different sort of interesting alleyways that have been brought up by the show's content. But I've sort of not been tempted to go into the chat room tonight. Don't know why.
Well,
I think I would get too distracted, I think.
It is difficult trying to follow the chat room, being the host, trying to follow the chat room, and also trying to follow the guest.
That's where the extra brain helps, yeah?
Well, yes, I wonder where I put my extra brain right at the moment. I haven't had it for quite some time. I think I lost it in the move.
Oh, my Lord, it's like Reagan's misplaced brain all over again.
That's right. Okay, well, We've explained what you meant about renouncing your conditioning and personhood, and we went into the birth certificate literally being your slave title, the title papers to your slavehood. You know, like we have here in America, the piece of paper we get from our Department of Motor Vehicles is called a pink slip, and that means our pink slip means that we own our car. And so the birth certificate are we owned by the county first, and then the state, and then the government? And so does the county actually own us first?
That's a fine question.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you're certainly registered as a unit of a country's bucket of units.
Yeah.
If you get my question.
And do you know anything about these people who claim to have found the secret for getting rid of their birth certificate and getting all sorts of money back? Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, there's a thing called UK Rebellion or something like that, and they're trying to find ways around the legalese that's been imposed upon persons, so that they can stand up in court and say, I do not associate with the person named Mike Philbin. I am a free person, and I will not be sort of held down. I will not stand under your laws, that sort of thing. That's what they do. I'm sure it's UK Rebellion.
Well, we've got the same thing going on over here in the United States, too. But some of the people say that there are millions of dollars in your account, and you go in and say, I'm turning in my birth certificate, I want my money. And
really?
Yeah, some people say they've actually done it. I don't believe it, but if there's anybody out there... Well, if there's anybody out there that knows anything about it, let's call in. You can call 888-747-1968, 888-747-1968, because if such a thing exists, and Mike, now wouldn't that be amazing? And the reason that I say this...
That would triple crash the world's economy, because we'd all be
multimillionaires.
The wealth back, yeah, which there is no wealth. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
But we here in the United States believe that we are all sovereigns, because when we signed our Declaration of Independence, we declared that we are created by God, and God gives us our rights. The king doesn't, or the queen doesn't. So we are our actual sovereigns, and this birth certificate means we're a slave. And so if people wake up and turn in their birth certificates and force them to pay whatever amount of money, you know, the state, and I imagine it's worldwide, has claimed that you are worth,
Yes. Well, it's got to be in most countries. Yeah.
Then we would be on par. We would be equal with the masters who are running the world.
Well, because they would... It's all imagined money anyway. I mean, if you think about the way the money is actually generated nowadays, they just generate more money and it puts the interest rates up. I mean...
Oh, exactly.
There's no gold standard. Whether there should be or shouldn't be, I don't really care about that. But the fact is there is no gold standard. And money is just made that's related to future expectations as far as profit goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Suki Spook from the... Yeah. Chat room has just reminded me that the United States is a corporation.
Did she say Lancashire cheese?
No, she hasn't said that yet.
What a bad girl.
Now, you and Suki Spook are friends, is that right?
Disconnected, yes.
If the United States is a corporation, and I don't remember who said it, but the plantations became corporations.
Yeah.
But if the United States is a corporation, I'm wondering if this birth certificate means that you are the property of the corporation, and somehow turning in the birth certificate means you no longer belong to the corporation. And is the UK a corporation? That was what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, the UK certainly is a corporation. In fact, our country, before the new government came in, before the new coalition government came in, sort of conservative Lib Dem government came in, we were down as Alistair, what is his name? The guy who used to be the Chancellor of this, Alistair Darling. We were down as Alistair Darling PLC. That was the person who represented our country on the corporations boards. Very odd. We weren't even Great Britain or anything. We were just Alistair Darling PLC. So it was his fault.
Now, are you saying that the corporation that you were was Alistair Darling? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, it was listed as the corporation named via the Exchequer for the time. And I think it was the same before that as well.
That's... Do you know, I seem to remember reading something about that. The Exchequer is the one that is actually in charge of the corporation. Is that correct?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
So the Exchequer actually is Great Britain, and we are elements of his corporation. Units, lumps, slaves, chattels.
Slaves.
Yeah.
One of the things people who've been listening to me for a couple of years know that I used to rail a little bit. And the thing that I was railing about, was the fact that we were all slaves, of course. But I was saying that the UK were the first slaves of these crown agents, that they enslaved the people of Great Britain first, and then the second group was the Americans. Do you think I'm right about that?
Yeah, you're right. Of course you're right. But, I mean, it goes even back even further than that. For example, when the Romans were sort of, you know, hunting around Europe looking for places to, you know, make more cities with more roads that point towards the centre of town, that sort of still exists in the West, certainly. And we're still enslaved by the empire that built those roads and cities, and we're still paying for it with our blood, sweat and tears. And in fact, our death, you know, our death is all insured. So, as you said, for the World War II and I, you know, reparations.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about movies the other day. Well, there is a brilliant, brilliant movie. I believe it was produced in Spain, but I can't be... it's called Agora, A-G-O-R-A, and I don't know what Agora means. But it is a... It's about the scholar Hypatia, who was at the Library of Alexandria. And they showed the beginnings of Christianity. And she had her group of students there, and the students were from all different places. But she said, "We are family. We are family." Well, one of her students became the Roman you know, governor of the area and a Christian. Yeah. Another one of her students became a Christian zealot, and another one of her students became a Christian, like an Orthodox Christian. Well, the Christian zealot turned against her to have her killed, and of course, according to the film, at the time she was killed, she was just beginning to realize that the sun was the center of the universe and the planets had an elliptical orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they showed that she was mercifully killed by one of her slaves, former slaves, a man that she had freed, a man who loved her dearly. But in reality, the real way she was killed was with sharpened clam shells, and she was skinned alive. Isn't that horrible? I can't even imagine such a thing. They alluded to skinning her alive, but then they allowed this ex-slave to strangle her, and then he said to the rest, she just fainted, and the rest of the people started stoning the body and hopefully killed her before they, you know, skinned her alive. But
what the heck? Wait a minute, stop.
But it's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's by a director called Alejandro Amenábar, who I really like his work anyway. He did the Open Your Eyes, the thing that became Vanilla Sky in the West.
It's
In Spain, it was Abril of the Hoss. And Tethys is good. And The Sea Inside is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into
it. So it's a great director,
This director. I know Hypatia very well. I mean, she was one of my heroines of history. And the story, up until the end, and of course they could not possibly have used the real ending. It would have turned people off so badly. But they got the story accurate. And it shows the beginnings of Christianity. And let me tell you, all of us Christians out here, if that's the way our religion began, it's sort of like, oh my God, I don't even want to be part of it anymore. Yeah, they began skinning people alive, stoning people. Unbelievable.
But the stoning people just came from the society that was, you know, stoning people before. It's just that it didn't change.
And
you know,
of course,
that
the
was
Romans,
the way they dealt with, yeah?
Yeah, the Romans were crucifying people all of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you have. I was thinking about it. If I were living in those days, would I want to be one of the Romans, or would I want to be one of the barbarians fighting the Romans? And then you think about the barbarians. You know, they burned the people in the wicker baskets, and the Romans crucified the people. So it's like, I think I would rather live on another planet.
Yes, a free planet, perhaps.
Yes, a free planet. Getting back to your free planet, how do you see? How do you see your free planet? What? I mean, do we have to pay for food? Do I have to pay for sewers and water? And or is everything free?
No, I mean, I think the more I look at this free planet idea, it started as a bit of a reaction to a prison planet naming system. But then I started to actually think. Is it possible, you know, and if it was, what sort of shape would it take? And it's things like, at the moment, it's a bit of a prison planet at the moment, simply because you, the people, that's all, you know, 7 billion of you out there, 6.666 billion people out there at the moment, are actually still repairing the Empire's structure, the roads, the sewers, all the, in fact, They're repairing all the centralized structures of the conquering empire, be it, you know, whatever period of history you want to look at. But I think the free planet, because we're now in an age where technology could be released by patent holders instead of them using it for private profit, we could actually have 7 billion local solutions for water, sewage, and hydroponics for food, and all other technologies could simply be just freed up. There's absolutely no reason why someone owns something on this planet, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Right at the moment, there are huge corporations that are getting ready to take over all of the water here in the United States.
Yes.
And we actually had a corporation from Germany take over the water in one of the little cities where I was living in California. And the people in that city revolted. And, you know, throughout the city council that brought in that German corporation, and then they dissolved the contract that they had with the German corporation. If people would just stand up like they did, almost like what we, you know, our Tea Party is standing up and saying, no, this is not the way that human beings want to be treated. We do
I think nobody actually wants a war. I mean, I've done this recently. For the last few months, I've been going up to people, say, wars, what do you think about them? Do you want them or not? Would you be a part of them or not? And in the majority of cases, people really don't want wars, and they really don't want to defend, and they really don't want to have to go out and kill. It's that simple.
You know, unless you are a sociopath or a psychopath, nobody wants to kill.
Of course not.
Yeah, most of us just want to live. We want to be with the people that we love.
We all want to have fun. Be with the people we love, yeah. Be with our family. And be with our little, like, it's like you said with America Effect being its own little country or its own little diversity of sort of, you know.
That's true.
Like-minded people. You just want to be with those people all the time. And you want to have fun and, you know, if somebody comes along with some different ideas, you shouldn't really shun them because they might be important. Because that's one of the dangers of having little cliques, as it were. But I think people just need to, just grow up, yeah? You're not a school kid with some soldiers anymore. It's not that. You're not living a life on a tabletop. You're actually having to deal with things that are like you, and they're not just little chess pieces you can push around some sort of global battleground. It's really not that way.
Okay, if we wake up and realize that, you know, and I say to the army, you are not drafting my son. You know, we will hide somewhere to keep you from having him. More than likely, both he and I would get thrown in jail. But is that what we need to do to put an end to this? If we all just sit down and say, no, we're not going to go to war. We're not going to kill. And yet, here in the United States, you know, this depression that we're in right at the moment didn't really start right now. It started with Bill Clinton, and I wrote, a nice article about it. I didn't, but somebody else wrote a nice article about Clinton's depression. George Bush kept us out of going into the depression by keeping all of those people that didn't have jobs employed in our military. And, of course, who is it that can't find a job? It's the kids that don't graduate from high school, that don't go on to college, that don't want to be Wall Street barons, who are going to be broke and probably in the military pretty soon. But what we've done here is we've thrown our poor, who can't find jobs, into the military.
Yes, and they recruit in poor areas, don't they?
Oh, they sure do. And yet these people are some of the most patriotic people in the world, but it kind of
makes... But they don't know. They just don't know. They're so embedded in this lovely game that's being played at them, they don't really see it. They're so in it, they can't step their mind out of it to just have a look at what's really going on. And it's going to be very difficult for them.
It is. I can remember when there was this, my first husband was the Dean of Science and Engineering at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, and one of the PhD students there did a report on will the military turn the guns on American civilians? At that time, I think it was only like 12 or 13% of the people that he interviewed would turn the guns on civilians. But
so just bringing a foreign army, it's fine, yeah?
That's
just bringing foreigners to do it. Yeah, bringing foreigners, they'll do it.
And
that's
exactly
that's happening.
Precisely. I saw a map that had, you know, if the United States falls apart, and good Lord, we are so close to revolution and race war and, you know, everything that could possibly tear the United States apart. But years ago, about 20 years ago, there was a map out, and I think it had the 10 zones. And California was in the zone that was patrolled by the Irish. And I thought, well, since I can do a perfect Irish accent when I want to, they'll just think that I'm a little bit of an Irish girl, and maybe I'll get along quite well with them. What do you think?
Carry her over the barbed wire. Yes.
Yeah. and so I thought, gee, at least I'll be able to understand what they're talking about. But
wow.
Who are this? Who makes up this Irish army that is coming over to occupy California?
But it doesn't matter. It's even worse than that. Who's invented the 10 zones that says Los Angeles is overruled by an Irish army? It's,
I know. Who
you know,
did
it's
invent
just
that?
Absolutely mental.
You know, when this, one of the things that woke up a lot of Americans just last year was when this health bill was introduced, and it was 2,000 pages long, and the Speaker of the House, the brilliant Nancy Pelosi, said, "Don't you understand? We have to pass this bill so that we know what's in it." That told.
Well, of course.
It told the.
I mean, you don't want to read the thing before you vote, do you? You don't want your representatives to go, you know, applying their mental abilities.
But who wrote it? Who wrote it? And it turns out that who wrote it was one of George Soros's foundations.
Oh, that's so sweet. Who writes? And do you know who writes Barack Obama's teleprompting messages?
Well, I think it's different people on different times. Yes, they're written by what we call NGOs, these nonprofit corporations that are funded by people like George Soros. And we're going, my God, we've already talked an hour. Can you believe that? We're going to the top of the hour. Please remember to go over to TalkStream Live and give a vote for Raylan Allen so I can stay up there in the top 25 like I've been ever since we started with TalkStream Live. And Mike and I will be right back.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well, just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith, make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
And welcome back, welcome back. Have any of you gone over to the Drudge Report and taken a look at that thing he's got on the front page, which is a picture of the shelling of this island in South Korea? And then he asks, then he just has the title below it,
It Begins.
It Begins. And of course, what begins. I've gotten some really really interesting email on that, which I'll be publishing over in on Rumor Mill News in a little bit. And one of our listeners and readers says that the Exchequer is called the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer of the corporation. Is that correct?
Yes,
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Are you asking me? Yes, I can hear you. you're the only Brit that I've got on the line right now. Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yes. The answer to the question is yes.
And so that makes perfect sense. Especially
if we are a corporation, yeah.
And so the Exchequer is the Chief Financial Officer. Now, a couple of years ago, something really amazing happened with the Exchequer. I can't remember it now because, you know, so many little pieces of information passed through my brain that, you know, my brain just can't remember them all. I'm on overload. Mm. I need to get one of these external hard drives and add it.
You need a new brain. That's what it is. A freshly washed brain.
That would be exactly perfect. Maybe I'll call my friends upstairs and see if they can help.
Oh, no, don't look into the light. That's the one, isn't it? You will remember nothing.
But something happened with the Exchequer a couple of years ago, and it was like everybody thought he'd dissolve the corporation or something. Do you remember what that was?
No. I'm intrigued, but no, I don't remember it.
Well, while we're talking back and forth, I'll see if I can find that old article. There's so many other questions that I want to talk to you about this planet, Leave It Better Than We Found It. Of course, I was talking earlier about the EMPs just literally giving us back a rewilded planet. But how are you seeing it? How are you seeing going back to the Earth the way the Earth was meant to be before the road builders got to her?
It's the road builders and the concrete layers. We should never have done that. What were we thinking?
I don't know. We were thinking that we needed to get from here to there much faster than taking a 3-day walk. We wanted to be there in a half hour.
We wanted to make money on the back. I mean, this sort of goes back to the let me think straight what it goes back to. It actually goes back to the issue of renouncing your conditioning. Now, I know that America is building itself as the, you know, land of the free, the home of the brave. You know, go out and, you know, earn your fortune. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just conditioning. I mean, what fortune? I mean, far more important to me than private wealth is actually that you don't go to the toilet where someone else might eat or drink, you know, and you don't want to sort of leave all your mess, all your refuse, all your industrial waste in someone else's living room, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's all these things whereby you'll take a shortcut to make as much profit as possible while you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the searching for profit, the actual searching for making money, making imagined fiat money, that is the cause of most horror, really, on the planet. I mean, most crime is just somebody trying to find some money to get some food or some drugs. Most wars are just based on money. Most business acquisitions are just money. But you're really going to have to break 7 billion people out of being consumers, because it's pointless. It's a pointless lifestyle. What would you like to do rather than be a consumer? You know, surely you have an imagination.
I mean, wouldn't you like to be a creator rather than a consumer, a creator?
Yeah, or even just an enjoyer. I mean, you don't all have to create. But I mean, I think the internet sort of spelled a little bit, like, you know, developing its own little networks and that. It's sort of, you could imagine where a world might go with the internet, but positive and negative. But I think now that we are technologically advanced enough, we should actually just grow a pair, to be quite frank, and get on with enjoying this planet, and just bring in some animals back, and bring in some plants back, and just making the place pretty again, and get rid of the roads, get rid of the buildings, because there are other solutions, and there are localized solutions for what is a centralized sewage works, which is an empire. So just wake up.
Right.
It's just annoying now.
You know, we have gotten to the point, we've gotten to the point, in my opinion, where we are all so busy, and, you know, we need the roads,
by design.
And we need our fast cars. Yeah, by design.
Yeah.
That we're so busy that we don't even know, the children don't know their parents, they don't know their grandparents, they don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's
we exported,
like...
We exported, to your great country, we exported our lovely British sort of London cabbie super nanny. Do you remember that? Did you see that show in the States? Super nanny, she'll tell you how to behave.
Oh, you know, I did see that. Oh my gosh, yes.
She's a lovely spectacled woman, and she comes in a big black cab, and she fixes your family for you, because families are broken.
And that is
by
exactly...
By design, yeah. Yeah.
By design. After World War II, they took the top men from the war, put them into the top corporations, and then moved them 1,000 miles away from their support system. And that's where it first began.
You can break people up quite easily.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have not been able to find my Exchequer post on Rumor Mill News, so
get the star.
I can't talk about it.
Okay.
I know that it was such a major announcement that all of us over at Rumor Mill, you know, were pondering over what it, you know, what does it really mean? What does it really mean? And what it really meant, what I thought it meant, is that the Exchequer was dissolving the corporation for England. So, but I, since I can't find the darn post, yeah, I can't really tell you what it meant.
Well, it didn't happen, I think, is the answer.
It didn't happen, yeah. It didn't dissolve it, that's for darn sure.
Because there are, I mean, you know this yourself. You know this yourself, having had contact with those sorts of games, that, you know, the people who do those sorts of games, is that you're never really told what's actually happening. You're always told something that may not be happening.
Well, that is the one reason that I started Rumor Mill, and probably the same reason that you started Free Planet, because we know that the media lies to us. The media keeps our attention focused over here when we really should be looking at...
Global corporations run the media.
Can people believe that? And of course, they're
people don't know that. People don't know anything. I mean, they're so caught up in the, what is it, the, what do they call it, football or baseball or beer or just watching some useless summer blockbuster.
Isn't that part of the 19 planks of the Communist Manifesto, that what they have to do is get the population interested in stupid things like sports? I can't remember if it's from the Communist Manifesto or if it's from something else. One of my listeners, who knows more than I do, hopefully will send me the answer to that.
19s. I don't think sports are stupid. I just think the way that you're... you turn the sport itself into its own war situation, if you get my drift.
Well,
You support the good guys. You support the guys that you think are more worthy of winning. When it's just total randomicity, which town you were born in or which town you support,
state. I agree completely.
It's just all arbitrary. But because you don't see the arbitrary pattern, you think it's all great and it's all worked out for a reason, and you go ahead with it and you put your life, you put your life into it.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was really into sports. But I was into sports on the local level. And when I moved to San Francisco, I sort of got into sports up there. But then I realized that, hey, this guy's not a San Franciscan. He's from Montana. And that guy's from Alabama. These aren't San Francisco people. These aren't local San Francisco people. And when I realized that the sports people, the athletes, are just bought. I mean, they are the real slaves of the world. They are bought and they are owned by, a team owner. I mean, just think of that.
The old gladiatorial empire system. It's exactly what it is.
Exactly. And so when I realized that, I just cut off all sports except local sports. Baseball teams and things like that. When you know the people on the team, when it's your brother or your cousin or something like that. But again, that's the local stuff that binds a community together. And that is what the slave masters of this planet have wanted to stop. They don't want us bound together.
Yeah, because if you think about the whole slaving process, you're not slaved in your own town. You're generally slaved somewhere else. Like all these people who are, I don't know the terminology for American football, but they are borrowed across from other teams or other states, whatever that's called. It's the same process when you make a slave. You don't enslave him in his own town. You sell him through where he'll be a slave in some other town, where he'll be displaced from his family and from his culture. And he'll try to be embedded into the culture of the corporation that's now enslaved him. He'll be a rah-rah man, that's it.
And we can go perfectly back to the black slave trade. And they didn't sell them to other blacks. Sometimes they did.
But they were certainly carried off into different countries.
I wonder how long slavery has existed on this planet. Probably since the beginning, don't you think?
Sure. It only needs one guy to go, I can tell these idiots what to do, and they do it.
And
that's all it is.
But in ways, every single corporation who employs people is like an overseer. And your immediate boss is the overseer that is cracking the whip. And if you don't do exactly what he says, you are fired, which means you have no money, you can't pay the rent, you can't buy food, you and your family are homeless.
It's a very similar thing that's happening, in Ireland at the moment. Now, they're going to go through the austerity measures of Greece, aren't they? Because they've been given this. But they said they didn't want an EU bailout. And then a week later, it sounds like they've been forced into taking an EU bailout.
I've been following that. Why don't you explain explain it a little bit better than that? What do you think happened behind the scenes is what I'm getting at.
Well, there was an EU referendum vote that was taken by Ireland 2 years ago when they said no to ratification, which means, well, whatever it means. And then they offered them the same vote 1 year later, after having put on a little bit of industrial pressure, I believe, mm-hmm. in different aspects of the way Ireland works. And then the Irish people go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So they say yeah, when a year ago they said no to the same things. And then mm-hmm. suddenly, the PIIGS, which is Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, are the pigs of Europe, yeah? And suddenly Ireland's getting a bailout from Britain and from EU separately.
But what exactly is that going to do for Ireland, do you know?
I think it's something about generating faith or trust or some sort of belief that Ireland's a good industrial bet. I think it's as basic as that. It's just money. It's money that makes things certainer as far as the business world goes. More reliable. Having access.
Which means, I know that there's a lot of computer type stuff that is done in Ireland these days, so it probably means that all of the corporations that count on Ireland to produce the products that they're producing over there can be safe, can feel safe in what's going on. Is that what you think is going on?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But it's a very strange question. I found out the by all sorts of different connections I have out in the real world, that there's been a lot of people sort of disappearing from Civvy Street to go and attend to something in Ireland over the last few weeks.
What do you mean, Civvy Street? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a military term. When you come out of the military, you end up in Civvy Street, yeah?
Okay.
And there's things I've heard that there's people being called back at rather short notice to go and be in Ireland for something. And that was a couple of weeks before this whole EU bailout thing was talked about. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it's all very odd.
Now, years ago, not too many years ago, when Tony Blair was still Prime Minister, mm-hmm. what is it, I'll get back to my question in a minute, but what is Tony Blair doing these days? I mean, he was the United States envoy to the Middle East, the last I heard. Isn't that the weirdest thing? The Prime Minister of Britain becomes the United States official envoy to the Middle East?
Yeah. That's very odd.
And he became Catholic, too, if you remember.
Yeah, he got the whole... he sort of got Christian, didn't he? He found the whole thing. And, Didn't Bush sort of go the same route? Well, didn't he get real religious in his first term?
Yeah, but he didn't become Catholic. But both Bush and Tony Blair literally appeared to be called forth to sit with the Pope like two little bad boys. I've got pictures of both of them sitting there, and they really do look like they've been they're two little people called to the principal's office. I can hear the music. We're going to be back. Everybody, get on over to TalkStream Live and give a vote. I'm still number 10. You know how it feels being number 10 when I'm supposed to be number 2 or 3? I'll see you in a minute.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina, and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
And you are listening to Radio RMN. This is Raylan Allen, and I'm the publisher of RumorMillNews.com, one of the oldest alternative media websites on the Internet, and I'd sure like to keep it there another 14 years. My guest today is Mike Philpin. He's from the UK. Do you actually live in England, or do you live in Scotland? I don't know where you are.
I live in England. It's a place called Oxford.
Oxford, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah.
Don't know what I'm thinking
old,
about.
It's a 1,000-year-old town.
Is that, you know, I once heard that there were great Druid universities in Oxford. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know anything about this place. I just live here.
That is so true about most people.
The whole world is full of crazy theories, isn't it?
Well, I like to think of them as interesting stories that could possibly be true.
That's very charitable.
But speaking about a crazy theory, back when Tony Blair was Prime Minister, and the Irish, you know, Revolutionary Army had laid down its weapons, and there was talk for a brief period, maybe a day, that Northern Ireland and Ireland were going to join together. Do you know anything about that? Where did that talk go?
Gosh, I don't know. But I suspect that this may be, you're bringing this up as a remnant to the EU bailout of Ireland.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are physically putting money into Ireland, which is a foreign country.
Because it seems more like they put it into Northern Ireland because they think of it as being more stable. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Why in the world, tell me, what is your opinion as to why Ireland is split? I mean, Ireland, in my opinion, you know, my little Irish genes going off, you bloody Brits are occupying my ancestral homeland.
Sure. Now think of the Israeli situation.
Precisely.
That's exactly what you're looking at.
Now, why did it ever happen? We are, Brits are an occupied...
It's like saying, why did Hitler ever happen, or why did, you know, the Caesars ever happen? These things just... why did the East India Company ever happen? These things just happen, yeah? Because
yeah.
We allow them, because we're weak.
Yes, we
because
are
we don't, or rather, we don't. We sort of don't believe, we don't understand that we are actually a lot stronger than we are allowing ourselves to be.
You know, people just truly need to stand up. We cannot have any people of weak heart anymore.
No. Not at all. I mean, grow up is the actual phrase I would use, just simply grow up. It's not about your car, and it's not about your house, and it's not about what job you've got, and it's not about how many kids you can father. It's just grow up. It's as simple as that.
That is absolutely the case. And there are more of us than there are of them. And
there will always be more of us than them, yes.
Yes. And we are just as intelligent. Maybe years ago when they didn't let us read and go to school, we weren't as intelligent. But then again, here in America, ever since the 1920s, the schools have not been designed to educate, but to dumb down and to...
Yes.
Mold. Is that the same with in Britain?
Yeah, it's got quite sad, really. Well, they're not teaching people to be intelligent anymore. They're teaching people to pass a fixed parametric exam. So you know, you've got to get 17, let's say, some random number. So they teach people how to get 17.
Yes, and the teachers. I was a teacher here in California.
Yep.
The teachers are rewarded on how well the students do on the tests. So in other words, if your class, you know, goes up X number of points, you get a raise.
Great.
And so what does the teacher do? The teacher teaches to the test.
Yes. He dumbs the kids down so that he will get more money. Yes.
Yeah, and that
he will not educate anyone. No, he educates no one. And you know this, yeah, if you've gone through the system, you know that you're not educating anyone. You're just sort of hand-holding them a bit for a while, and then you're letting them loose in the real world where they know nothing.
Yeah, where they know nothing.
And they're just pliant corporate stooges is what they are. But they don't know it. I mean, it's not really their fault. They just...
I started out in life being an English teacher. I got so frustrated with it because of, you know, this testing that I actually went into teaching adults. Teaching adults is much more rewarding. But I still
have to listen.
that's exactly right.
Exactly.
They come to you because they want to learn. And so I taught computer to adults. And then I ended up in a... believe me, I don't know how it happened. But I ended up teaching computers to maybe 13, 14-year-olds. And the thing that I discovered is they already knew more than I did on the computer. And they had never taken a computer class before. How can this be that our children, literally out of the womb...
That's not how it happened. I mean, kids just learn. If they're really interested in something, they'll pick it up. If you put a kid in a history lesson and tell him 1866, 1494, 1328, he's going to die of boredom and just go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with, let's say, Tony Blair's thing that all teachers should be clowns and or actors. But there certainly is...
I didn't know he said that. Is that what he said?
He did.
Oh, my God.
Because they should all be actors and, you know, entertain the children for the day. Like some sort of balloon blowing, you know, I'll make you a horse as far as education goes. Or maybe we can, you know, do a tiger out of these balloons here. Something like that. Do you like the way my nose squeaks? Honk, honk.
Yeah.
But it gets you through an exam, you know, and that's the whole point. Isn't it? Do an exam.
Oh, remind me to tell you about Rupert Murdoch buying this education company. Just think about that for a minute, guys. Rupert Murdoch's going to be educating our children. I'm talking with Mike Kilton from the UK, from Oxford, and we will be right back here on Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well, just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Orgon Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E Products.org. Or call now 307-200-4503.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field Theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
This is the
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Raylan, and I am talking with Mike Philbin from the UK, specifically
hello.
From Oxford. Yes, hello. And, you know, we've got this guy named Rupert Murdoch, and who
is that lovely Australian bloke?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the one. And
yeah.
and he's
what with you?
He runs an organization which, in my opinion, is the corporate mafia.
Well,
and
he runs one of the six corporations on the planet, doesn't he? One of
yes,
the six media
yes,
corporations.
He does.
Well, one of them run by him. Yes.
But the other corporations seem to represent, you know, some other kind of mafia, you know, like the labor mafia. They're all mafia.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at them. They're all crooks and criminals. And he is now, he now bought a company that is going to be manufacturing software for education. And that was, is that you on your end going, blah, 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 blah. Sounds like you're playing
the drums. I apologize for my fast fingers. Yes,
the children.
I was just doing a search for the how many newspapers do you have to buy out to rule the United States? In the 1920s and 30s, there was this decision made by some people. It was about the number of newspapers you had to buy to propagandize the people into submission. And I think it was about 25 national newspapers. It wasn't very many. So that's why the six corporations ruling the media planet is very bad news for everyone.
That is certainly the case.
I type fast, but I can't find the article.
Okay. Which one are you talking about?
The one that says it was in the early part of the century where they were looking for how many newspapers they had to buy
okay.
up, to sort of to monopolize opinion.
Mm-hmm. The reason that I mention Murdoch and
yes,
News Corp
teaching.
going into the
yes.
schools is
yes.
our schools have been turning out, you know, brainwashed little socialist communists, you know, for
really?
For yeah 60, 70 years now. You know, people who just literally are these cookie cutter type people who don't think for themselves anymore. I think my generation was one of the last generations of people that actually were taught to think for themselves. I love that song, that German song, you know, I think as I please and this gives me pleasure. My conscience decrees this right I shall treasure. A nice German song, and of course everybody thinks of Germany as being,
nice
you know,
German
the first
stuff.
Country that, you know, marches lockstep. But
well, my grand's from Germany, so I can, you know, I'm a sort of a European family anyway. I don't have anything against countries because it's not really the countries that are doing the damage. It's just people who are representing them.
That is so true. But
you
with
the people from the countries are all fine.
Yeah.
You know,
with
they're
Rupert
not all in
Murdoch.
Jail for reasons.
Yeah, I just want to finish my thought about Rupert Murdoch. With
well,
him coming in, we may be actually seeing a generation of people being educated more in the corporate. In other words, maybe we're going to be balancing out the education. Not
we
that
have
we're getting
a... Yes, we have a show. We have a show in England. I think you have it in the States as well. There's that guy with the red wig. Apprentice?
Oh, yes.
What's his name? What's the guy's name? The guy who
Trump.
Runs a golf course in Scotland. Trump, that's it.
Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have junior apprentice, unfortunately, in our country.
What's
as well.
That?
Junior apprentice. Well, they get these teenagers and they put them in suits and they let them act like they own the world. And it's just very sad. It's almost like watching people, you know, when they used to sort of run towards the sandbag with the bayonet rifle.
Right.
It really reminds me of that. You know, you're looking at a person who can really stick that bayonet into that sandbag.
And now the sandbag has become
as
the boardroom.
Children.
And
yeah.
the bayonet are all the different members of the board until the one with the bayonet is sitting at the head of the table. That's where you're going, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just very, very bad. It's the same as those child warriors in Africa. You know, kids are really good at learning. They can learn how to strip a machine gun. They can learn anything you teach them. That's why when kids are interested in something, that's it. But
now,
really,
do you know those video games that are actually created by the Department of Defense, you know, where you're flying an airplane and it's just literally like a simulator, and they can take kids that have been on those machines and they become the best pilots.
Yes.
And now they've got the other ones where they're teaching you, you know, combat. Oh, and do you have these Wii? It's WII. Do you have those things over in?
And, we have
and
Wii.
You set it, we have Wii. Yes, Wii.
We
Wii.
Have Wii.
and you set that up.
Yes.
And
yes,
you can learn martial arts. You can learn anything. You
it's like I know Kung Fu from The Matrix. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You watch television and you become a Kung Fu master. I actually believe that many of these new video games are teaching our children. The child gets to choose.
I'll slip this one in here, actually. The Last Starfighter. Yeah, there was a film in the 80s called The Last Starfighter.
Yes.
1984. A video game boy. And what he does is he plays this game. And it was when the arcades used to be popular. Remember those? Do you remember those old people? And,
I certainly do. They was fun.
Put your coin in and you play this game. And when you get really, really good at it, you don't get a high score. You get an invitation from an alien to go and join a sort of rebellious revolutionary army in space, and you get to fight all the bad guys. And because people now have Xbox Live connectivity to all their stats and data, which I'm sure maybe there's a back door to via the Microsoft helping hand, that anyone who might want to recruit one of these plucky young starfighters nowadays can just go ahead and, you know, they've got all the data they need. Who's got the best scores? Who's got the fastest reactions? And soon, your fighter pilots and your G-forces are just obsolete, because there are lots more UAV potential. You know, these things that we keep seeing as UFOs. There's loads more UAV potential for fast combat.
Well, now a UAV, what is that? An unoccupied vehicle?
Unmanned aerial vehicle. You can do it robotically, or you can do it with just a flight camera. There's
okay, and those kids that are these great video game players,
those war
they
jockeys,
the ones,
yes.
They're
the war
ones
jockeys.
That are going to be running these UAVs, isn't that
I
correct?
I have this theory. Do you remember the film called Terminator? The Arnold Schwarzenegger film, right?
Yeah.
And they had all this great, they had these great chips inside them, and they were sort of lifelike. They could trace here and do that and jump around and stuff. But I suspected that was a load of rubbish, in the sense that what's actually happening is, instead of it being like some automated, computerized death wish machine, it's more likely to be some rich kids in some nearby territory who are having a bit of an online game. And today's mission is to raise Guatemala, and they do it for real.
Do you mean raise as in R-A-Z-E?
Yes. And these kids would do it. And if you give them enough money and enough kudos, they'd do it.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. And they wouldn't even really be realizing they were doing it for real. Because
the propaganda machine would just cloak the fact that, you know, something got trashed. You wouldn't hear about it on the news because it's all... Yeah.
Yeah, that's
beautiful,
exactly
isn't
right.
It? Isn't it gorgeous?
And you have to think how many of these kids have all the skills that they need to do something like this right now. And so, you know, like in the next hour, you know, we're expecting North Korea to attack South Korea. But what if some nerdy kid breaks into something or other and says, well, I'll just put an end to this. I'm going to smash North Korea and South Korea. It could happen. Sadly, it could happen.
It's all so wonderful, isn't it? that's not particularly why I'm here as a person on this planet. Thank you very much. You understand? Yeah. I'm sure you're the same as well.
Yeah.
It's no real.
One of the things that I really love about your philosophy is the leave it better than you have found it. One of the reasons people...
That's an old Indian thing.
Yes, I think that it is.
It is. I forget the tribe, but it's valid throughout. I don't care which tribe it came from, it's valid throughout. Leave it better than you found it.
Well, my mother always taught me that if you go visiting someone, that you leave the place better than you found it. In other words, you make the bed, you change the sheets, you leave everything perfect, you do the dishes, and then people invite you back again. They like you as a guest. You're talking. You've just written what? How many? You've got these free e-books that you're giving away.
I'm giving away. It's what I've sort of about for about a year. Since I first had the Prison Planet idea that maybe the Prison Planet name or branding is a little bit, negative. Mm-hmm. It's implanting negative messages into the slaves. The cells are filled with, criminals for no reason. I thought maybe it would be a good idea to sort of think through certain elements of what a free planet would be. So I've put together a free planet ebook. It's about 50 pages now. And I add to it every now and then. And you can go to mikephilbin.blogspot.com and just type in a little search window, Free Planet eBook, and you'll find the thread fairly quickly. And it's just free. Get it, download it, agree, disagree, that's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Oops, you can hear my babies going wild.
That's sweet.
I've got one. I have two others that would sleep through anything. And then I've got this one that if he hears anything, he lets out a bark. And then immediately the others start barking too. But this time they didn't, thank God. Because, oh my God, there are times that they start such a cacophony of barking that I absolutely cannot even hear. You've got all of these other personal websites, and so let's go visiting some of your websites. What is the Planet of the Owls?
Okay. The Planet of the Owls is, you mean the Blogspot one?
Yeah, you've got planetoftheowls.blogspot.com.
Mm. That's
Nightmarish Surrealism? Is that what it is?
I think I think Nightmarish Surrealism. And the thing with the Planet of the Owls, and in fact, this goes back to the recent Silver Thought Press books, yeah? They were released in 2008 on July the 14th, I think, which was like Bastille Day in France or something. And the general idea was that they're separate books. One's called Bukaki World, one's called Planet of the Owls. And is it Bohemian Grove?
Yes.
You know about the Moloch and all that sort of malarkey going on at Bohemian Grove for those guys who like to get naked with each other for some reason.
Well, right, we know a lot about it, and we know that the owl is one of their symbols. But what is this word Moloch that you're using? Tell us what Moloch means.
Wow, it's not a word I'm using, but it's a word that they use with respect to some god or some deity they pseudo-worship in some way.
Okay.
There's lots of stories, and, the internet's full of stories, and can you believe them all? Because that would be a very sick world, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, I know.
imagine if it was all true. It's just wrong, isn't it?
So, what is this?
I'll get back.
This Book of the Owl.
The Planet of the Owls. In traditional God, angel discussions, the angels do good, they toss bad angels out to hell, and it's all, it's for our benefit. Now, the idea with this book is it's a completely different interpretation of what angels might be. Mm-hmm. And the angels themselves, they're not necessarily personality angels that have, desires to help humanity. They're actually angels who are born from the manner of death of the human. So you'll have a suicide angel, and you'll have a murder angel, and you'll have a suffocation angel. And these angels are all linked together in a hierarchy to the King of the Angels, obviously. And we, as humans, experience these angels on our planet as birds, but we don't know this. We don't know that flocking means different dimensions, and we don't know that single birds on their own are quite special. So we only realize this when the angels sort of reveal themselves in a sort of mass scale up. The angels, mm-hmm. the birds get really big, and they obviously they're hungry, and very strange things happen. It's a very odd book, actually.
So you are literally saying that these angels appear as owls, and the owls
yes.
eat the people.
The tagline of the book is, and the angels don't give a damn, I'm afraid. Because that's the way it works. And it's a split story between one guy who's seeing the decimation of the world as it happens, and one girl who is, she's the last angel. And she's the last angel,
real-
I suppose.
Yes, real angel or last owl?
She's the last real angel because there are no more humans to make angels.
Oh my gosh. And so does she have a battle with these owls or what?
Yes.
And you're not going to tell us who wins?
She's basically the Death of Earth angel.
Oh my.
Interesting. Just her on her own.
I'm surprised this hasn't been made into a movie. Aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
please, that would be so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different aspect. I mean, I like to play with standard models, really. I don't like to take things for granted too much. Because
wow.
It's my life, and it's my planet, to be quite frank.
Well, I could definitely see somebody making this into a movie. You just haven't gotten it to the right people yet. You should get your publisher to send it to Hollywood. Okay, there's another one that you did. Bukkake World? Is this am I pronouncing it right?
This is the actual Japanese delicacy.
Lord, don't tell me what it is.
You've got an idea. It's not at all pleasant. And the idea is that in the corporate world, which we are all slaves in,
mm-hmm.
this stuff, it's like insistence. It's like meeting a schedule, meeting a deadline. It's like being reprimanded. It's all the things that corporate life means to you as a supposedly free human being. And this terrible white matter hits you in the face from morning to night. And the book, it just describes the same day, every day, and the same sort of terrible choking slap in the face all day. And what I did was I copied about 25, I think it's 21 or 25 chapters, and I copied them all from the same day and changed them slightly so that at the end of the book, the content of the same day is very different from the first chapter.
But it's basically you're reading the same thing over and over again, is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I introduce characters and I change your reaction, but it's the same day every single day. It's not so it's like a Groundhog Day, but corporate.
Okay. A corporate Groundhog Day. Wow, you say, one of your reviewers says that it's about the death of the individual.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yes. Individuality must die because there's a corporate war to win.
You know, I have on one of our writers over at Rumor Mill, Crystal River, and she's one of the Morgellons sufferers. And she believes that we as humanity are being engineered to go into the Borg. So that our individualism will die.
Well, and of course, because this is Hollywood symbolism once again. The Borg is simply Hollywood symbolism. It's the great big propaganda machine.
Yeah.
I mean, I like I like some of the films, yeah, but I'm always worried that I'm watching just some mind drain.
Oh, you mean the films that come out of Hollywood? Some of them are really entertaining. Of course, the one that I was talking about, Agora, I think that it was not just entertaining. I think that it was educational at the same time.
Well, sure, but that's a European film. These are the films that Hollywood can't make. I was watching a film called The Wave recently, and it was something that happened in the... it's actually an American thing. It happened in some school in America. And some guy was trying to teach about autocracies, and it went wrong, really badly wrong. Let's have a look here.
That's interesting, because The Wave, the original movie with the name Wave, took place in Australia, and it starred Richard Chamberlain, and it was an Aboriginal prediction about
No. Wave. No, this wave is it was something called the Third Wave. And it's based on a sort of cult-making experiment that sort of took place at Cubberley Senior High School in Palo Alto in 1967. So if you want to look at those, Cubberley High School.
I remember something about that.
And it was whether you could turn supposedly intelligent and caring people into, you know, just corporate drones or autocratic, you know, monsters, to be quite frank. And it worked, and they had to close it down. In just
there
a week.
Was a still,
in just a week.
The Palo Alto was very close to the university where I went to school. And one of my professors, when I was studying psychology, was the guy that did that. And I can't think, his first name is Phil, but I can't think what his last name was. But you're absolutely right, they had to turn it, they had to shut it down.
Yeah.
And now that was the one that also had the people that were torturing the other people in. Do you remember that part of it? Where they would put them in a room and they would tell them that they had to inflict X amount, and some of them really did it. And I can hear the music. We're going to be back. I'm talking with Mike Philbin from the UK, and we will be right back. And please go over to TalkStream Live and give another vote for Raylan Allen. It looks like we're about number 8 right now, and I think we're going to make it up to 4 or 5, somewhere up there in the top. We'll be back.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith and make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032, or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Or Gun Clockbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503. And welcome back. This is Raylan Allen. You're listening to Radio RMN. And my guest today is Mike Sylvan from Oxford, England. And Mike, I'm wondering if you and I are talking about the same experiment. This was Dr. Philip Zimbardo, and he did the experiment in the Palo Alto High School, cooperating with the police and everything, and the police arrested his students, threw them in jail, fingerprinted them, gave them new identities, and then hauled them off to the jail, where other students were the guards. Are we talking about the same thing?
No, we're talking about a thing called the third wave, and I'm just looking through the Philip.
Yeah, Dr. Philip Zimbardo. He was one of the psychology professors that would come down to the University of California in Santa Cruz on special guest lectures.
You know, it might have even been a different one, but I mean, lots of mind experiments take place, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. And during the 60s and the 70s, at Palo Alto and at Stanford, you know, we had the Stanford Research Institute. And did you ever see that movie? Talk about movies. It was Dreamscape. Did you see Dreamscape?
One of my favorite films of all time.
That was inspired by actual dream work that they were doing at the Stanford Research Institute. You know, and at that place they were, you know, you could go there and you can volunteer to become an LSD, you know, user. And they would give you LSD.
That'd be great.
I know. They wanted to track you. And this was when LSD was legal, by the way.
Yeah, give me chlorine in my water first, yeah. That's what I want.
They wanted to see what you could do. They were trying to find the people with the most psychic ability. And then when they found the people with the most psychic ability, what they were trying to create were psychic assassins. Someone that they could send into your dream and they would kill you in your dream.
Yes. And that was a great film. I'm glad somebody else enjoyed that film.
Well, I think everybody should go out and rent it, Dreamscape. And it's real, folks. It's real. It came out in the 80s. This is, 30 years ago. But they had the ability to kill you in your dream 30 years ago. And I think this is ancient, we would call it witchcraft or whatever, magical spells and things like that. But if people, if you don't know about Dr. Philip Zimbardo and his prison experiment, you really need to just Google it and go over to the Wikipedia entry that they have. I mean, we could probably do a whole show on this, but it really showed that every human being has this dark side, and given the ability to show it, they will. But I have a feeling that you were talking about something different, but it just sounded like it was the same thing.
Well, I imagine there were very, very similar sorts of experiments of the mind, those young, malleable minds, all over the place. Certainly at Palo Alto, there seems to be to have been at least one, maybe more.
Maybe more.
you know, what is it's this? Called research. I mean, imagine all the research that's gone into making people do stuff you don't want them to do. There's been thousands of research grants been shoved into this subject. It's all about human control. That's the major point of a centralized, economic planet. It's just an economic planet. It's just time and motion, and you are, you know, just do the slave thing and shut up. That's it.
Yeah. That's absolutely it.
And I would like to also go back to the, we're talking about the Planet of the Owls and the Bukaki world.
Right,
and there's been a little bit of horror on the chat room there, because we finally found out what Bukaki is. But it doesn't matter, isn't it? It's a metaphor. But I think the important thing is that, like in Russian cinema, when they couldn't really talk the truth, they had to sort of, use metaphors and symbols and stuff like this. Both Bukaki world and Planet of the Owls were brought out at the same time by the same publisher for a reason. Now, the covers are designed the same, the content is completely different, but they are linked. And if you want to read both of them, you will see that there's a link between them. And I just thought I had to sort of iterate the fact that they are.
I have to say, you're writing this horror, and yet you created Free Planet because you wanted to de-horrify some of the aspects of Prison Planet.
Yes. Isn't that just ironic?
Well, yeah.
That's the basis of not knowing what's going on. I mean, because you think it's great, because you think it's superb, you think it's normal, you don't really see that it's horrific. You know, when you drive your car down to the burger joint, you don't really, to go to a cheap clothing store to buy some jeans, you don't really see the horror that went into making any of those products for you. You just take it as normal. You know, you've not been taught a consumerist conscience. It's been taken away from you by design.
What do you mean by the consumer's conscience? I'm lost.
Imagine you were going to buy a pair of jeans. You'd probably go for, depending on what your job was, you'd probably go for a cheap pair of jeans, mm-hmm. let's say. And you have no idea how that cheap pair of jeans is made, or what agonies the people who made those jeans for you undergo.
Yeah.
And what sort of, what terrible destitution they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are never advertised on your TV. You're just told how great they are. You know, they've got these pins here and they've got these buckles there, and that's it. You're happy. Oh, great! I need something with more studs on it. That's what I need. Rather than, what about the children who are working for this thing 13 hours a day?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. I'm one of those people that every time I see Made in China, I look at it and I say, what did the person? How did
God,
the person have to suffer?
Well, look at the iPhone factory in China, where
don't
there were all those suicides.
The iPhones
are made in China. The iPhones
I'm
are made in China.
I'm glad I don't have one.
Me either.
My Motorola, where's my Motorola Droid made? Is it made in China too?
It's the 10th apparent suicide at Foxconn iPhone factory in China. That's the 27th of May, 2010. And these people just throw themselves. They have to put up safety nets at the high level of the building so that these employees won't kill themselves because they're so just down on the whole thing. But, iPhones are great. Apple's great technology. It's just that to make a profit, they pay the cheapest country to make them for them, which is China.
Actually, pretty soon it's going to be America. And then, we can get all the manufacturing back here, and we will be paid the same slave wages that the Chinese are paid.
Hey, wait a minute. This also goes back to your earlier comment about it being Ireland and about it being Greece. and about it being Italy, and about it being Portugal, and about it being Spain. You know, this all ties together. You have to destitute a country to make them more viable as a corporate nation, I think.
Yeah, because you've got to get all the corporate slaves marching in the same way. I mean, Redmond's got all the free thinkers on this free planet, and we free thinkers want to do our own thing. I don't want to sit in a factory 24 hours and, you know...
Who are you working for? I mean, when you buy a house, who are you buying it off? Who are you buying the land from? Who owns it? Nobody should own it. People don't get that. They go, I own my house. No, you don't. You're living under some bricks and some wood and some tile. That's it. You may have paid for the bricks and wood and tile to be made, but that's it. What's the... People don't get this.
But, you know, here in California, well, I'm not in California anymore, but you know, I don't know that because, you know, I'm here in a bedroom that looks identical to the bedroom that I had in California, and so I don't really know where I am. I could be on Mars, for all I know, you know, doing this radio show.
I love that. Yeah.
Well, isn't it the same to... All of us who are addicted to the internet, we've got our computers, we live in our computers, and if somebody would pick up the room that your computer is in and put it on Mars, when would you ever know the difference? As long as there was food in the refrigerator and...
Wasn't that the great corporate promise?
What?
That we could just, you know, if we needed to work for our living, we could just work from wherever we wanted and be all connected. What happened to that? I was waiting for that about 5-10 years ago.
I think it's still coming. But you know the thing that I was waiting for that they promised me 40 years ago is that the workday weeks were going to be 3-day weeks and we'd have 4 weekends because with technology and everything, everything was going to be so wonderful that the machines were going to do everything and the people were just going to be able to develop their own talent. Where'd that promise go to?
Exactly.
Yeah, I bet the younger people never even heard that promise. Yeah. Hey, you're a Brit. Do you know Roald Dahl, the short story writer, Roald Dahl?
Yes, wasn't he Swedish or something?
No, I thought he was English.
So that he's got some strange origins.
He writes some strange books, too.
He does.
And I would imagine... you haven't read anything that he's written, then. Am I right on that?
Hey, in this country, when I was a kid, I used to watch the Roald Dahl sort of Tales of Mystery or whatever it was called. That was great. These like little TV series of all his stories put together in the Roald Dahl sort of adult theme, but I think they were written by other story writers.
Oh, it could be. He wrote one called The Sound Machine. It's about this guy who turns on his sound machine and then he starts to hear the plants. And
I saw that one. I saw that one as a child, yes.
Did you really? And the tree trimmer comes along and starts to cut the tree and the tree is screaming.
The tree's screaming like mad, That was brilliant.
And it drives...
I also remember Royal Jelly.
Oh, no, I don't remember that one. What's the Royal Jelly
Royal Jelly is a classic. And it's about some privileged family who, I think they end up feeding royal jelly to their kid and they don't get what they thought they'd get. It's just all gruesome and horrible, but wonderful TV.
And then the other one by Roald Dahl that I absolutely love, and I think that we are becoming that. It was about the people, there's some disaster happened and everybody had to live underground. And so you lived in these recliners with your computer. And now this was written back in the 50s. And he identified laptop computers sitting there on our tray, you know, hospital type tray.
Oh, yes.
On our... Do you remember that one? Where
I don't
you
remember
literally
that one,
travel.
I do remember. I'm a really big fan of the writings of an American bloke called Philip K. Dick.
I've never read any of his stuff.
His films are just... The films are nothing like the books. The films are just like, you know, time localized fluff, really. But the...
Can you give a name of some of them?
Of Philip K. Dick's books?
Yes.
Eye in the Sky, The Stigmata of Palmer and Eldridge. There's We Can Remember It For You Wholesale. There's like a load of these great things. But the point I'm trying to get at is that way back when, in the 50s and 60s, when he was writing these sort of pulpish stories of a sort of pseudo drug nature, he was coming up with ideas that, you know, the FBI was sort of, you know, surveilling him, and they eventually did turn his place over. But it's that idea that wars are broadcast events rather than, you can actually have no war but broadcast the events of a war.
That movie that Dustin Hoffman starred in, where there really wasn't a war, it was just a created media event. And there are people who believe that the Bosnian War was just a media event, that it really didn't happen the way that they say that it happened.
Yeah.
That would be. The reason that I was mentioning Roald Dahl is, you remind me of him. The way that you've described
some
of your
books. What, I have that sort of bald-headed look? What do you mean?
No, your writing, your writing style.
I'm trying to be funny.
And then we've got another one, Lovecraft. Have you read Lovecraft?
Yes,
my God.
A little bit. Yeah.
Did he influence you in any way in your writing?
Oh, gosh, no. I'm one of these people who, as a writer, I'm sort of more influenced by artists or filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
I like to really sort of, because there are, we could go back to the Hertz and Chimera thing if you want. I was,
sure.
I was upsetting the horror people so much because they're writing to genre, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their werewolves, and they've got their vampires, and they've got their zombies, and they keep regurgitating the same old stuff, and this...
I know, over and over.
And it's just terrible, because what they're doing is they're... When I was a child, things like Christopher Lee's Dracula was exceptionally terrifying. He had those red eyes, and it was proper horror, yeah?
Christopher Lee was terrifying in anything he
appeared
in. Yeah. I loved him.
Yeah. And what you've basically got now is you've got people writing open speech marks, horror, closed speech marks, for kids. That's the whole horror industry. It's all for kids. They're all films that have got a 12 certificate on them, or a parental guidance certificate, or whatever it is in the States. And it's just not where I wanted to be. So that's sort of mainly where I used to just really sort of wind them up. Because they just need to stop writing to product. They need to write proper personal horror. There's nothing else. It's your one time on the planet, unless you can prove that you come back as a toadstool or a frog. There's no proof for it, though. You know, whatever. Unless you come back as a cup. That'd be quite nice.
You come back as a what?
A cup. A mug. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Something you drink out of, a cup.
Oh, a cup. Oh, no, I'm not going to come back with a cup. But we do have a really good story about an 8-year-old boy who was a fighter pilot in World War II. And we'll be right back. We're talking with Mike Silken from the UK, and I just heard that the people in the chat room are really enjoying this. So we'll be right back here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. And get over there to the chat room, chatroom.themicroeffect.com.
Orgon Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression. The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price. So you and your family have a long-term food solution. The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you
right now.
Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
Do you want youthful, soft, and supple skin? Then you need Helena Whole Body Anti-Aging Skin Rejuvenator. Damaged, irritated, and dry skin left unchecked can lead to premature aging with associated age spots, wrinkles, and lifeless-looking skin. Loaded with 18 tonic herbs, the natural oils, and anti-aging ingredients in Helena Whole Body Anti-Aging Skin Rejuvenator promote soft, smooth, and more youthful-looking skin while protecting it from environmental toxins, stress, and damaging elements. Protect the largest organ of your body, your skin. Try Helena at www.rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
And welcome back. This is Raylan. I'm talking with Mike Philbin. And you can look up Amazon.com and find Bukkake World. You can get it in the Kindle edition. You can get a brand new one for $14.99. And you can get new and used from $7.50 to $6.38. But there's only one left in stock. So you better get there and buy it soon. Now, which would be the best book for us to start with? Bukkake World? Or is that one pretty gross?
all the books will be an affront to the reader. I'm not a big fan of the reader. I'm not a big fan of the reader because he's lazy.
And how many books do you actually sell to these people you're not big fans of?
Listen, that's not the point, yeah. That's not the point. The point is, the reader needs to wake up a little bit more. So even when he's reading a book, I think, for example, one of the book, I think it was from about the year 2000, I wrote out this book called Je m'en fous, or Je m'en fous, as it's spelled. You know the one with the S-Z-M-O-N-H-F-U?
Yes, that one.
It's a fairly thick, about 120,000 words, sort of agglomeration of three shorter books. And I made specific editorial decisions in that so that the reader would actually have to read the book. Because what's possible to do when you read a book is just to read the dialogue. And get the gist of, and you know, skim the gist of where you are. But I actually think it's really important that a reader reads. And if a reader likes a reader, if a reader likes a writer, they would actually want to read more of what the writer's writing, rather than skimming, than following a narrative. So I have a little jousting competition with the reader in most of the books.
Well, I just put your name in, Mike Philbin, in Amazon.com.
And getting many hits.
Oh my God, yes. The Life and Death of Herzen. Now that one you hadn't even mentioned to us. What's that one about? I mean, that wasn't Herzen the writer that wrote all of this?
Yeah.
And then you killed him off.
Yes.
Oh, that must have been so much fun.
Yep.
I can just see you walking down the street and the idea comes in. You goes, oh my God, this is great. And people are looking at you like you're mad.
Yeah.
Crazy mad.
Yeah, sure. I think he had his time. He had to go.
I think that's wonderful.
And this book, The Life and Death of Herzen Chimera, is it's his imagined life story as to why he writes such ridiculous books. Quite funny.
And so you become an author called Herzen Chimera. And then after he writes a number of books, then you write the biography of Herzen Chimera. Is that correct?
Of his death, yeah.
Okay. That is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. As I said, why aren't you... Why haven't these been made into films? They really need to be made into films.
I think there's a mainstream error. I mean, I made the not going for the mainstream error. And I sort of really don't care about it. If it wants to catch up at some point, I'm happy. But I'm not right about the formula.
If you'll remember way back when The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy came out, nobody... Yeah. I mean, that just... How many years did it take before that was a cult book?
Do you remember a little book about a guy called Harry Potter that couldn't find a publisher for about 2.5 years?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've heard of that book. Right. didn't they make that into a movie, too?
Yeah, I think there was 107, yes. 106.
105, made about. 10, maybe 20. Yeah.
And the basic idea is that publishers just try to make money. They don't really actually have any idea of what is a good book. That's up to the judges to decide.
And so who are the publishers judges?
The judges are the Booker Prize, and for the films, the Oscars, for TV, the BAFTAs or the Emmys. And it's just it's just about making money. Does a publisher think it can make money on a product? That's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about something that somebody might want to read. They're thinking whether they can make money.
Now, I have to ask you, because I am on your Amazon page, and right underneath your books, here are the most recent blog posts from Mike Philbin. And you go down a little bit, and this is on Amazon, mind you. You write, I'm going to be talking about free planets and other things involving creativity, passion, and kinship on Rumor Mill News Radio Tuesday, the 23rd of November.
Yes, it's just an RSS feed of my...
Is that what it is? And you just set it up on Amazon? Yep. They allow that?
Yep. And they allow you to link to blogs you might have as well. So anything that I put on my blog goes to several feeds. I've got one on Goodreads as well.
Goodreads. You're going to teach me how to do that. I've been trying to figure out RSS feeds for, seems like, 20 years now, and I still haven't gotten it right.
I'll send you an email. It's really simple.
Wonderful.
In fact, really simple syndication. That was no pun.
That is right. Really simple syndication, and everybody tells me that. And I must be somebody that is trying to make it much harder than it is, because what I would love to do is syndicate all of Rumor Mill, so that Rumor Mill is just everywhere in the universe.
Of course you would. Make it so.
Now,
make it so.
That's right. You sound like Captain Picard. Make it so.
Picard. Yes.
How did you get involved with our Captain Sherlock and the Hawk?
Oh, yes. Things take my fancy.
Uh-huh.
I think since childhood I've been on a search for truth. You know that sort of really sort of weird five-letter word that nobody can seem to get the hang of?
Yes, exactly.
The starts with a T. Truth, yeah. What actually is truth? And I sort of went through several phases. I went through a sort of religious phase, and I went through a scientific phase, and I'm just now roundabout into my global politics or finance phase. And if you haven't been looking for truth in any way, shape, or form for, let's say, the last 30 years, you're going to find it really difficult, because there are such an amount of plans in the way to sort of make sure you don't find out what's going on.
Right. Huh. Well, I've just come across another one of your books. The Best of Him, Chim, and Her. What kind of a book is that? I know, but we got to go to a break.
After the break.
Tell me about The Best of Him, Chim, and Her. I'm talking to Mike Sylvan, and we've known him in contact with Free Planet, but he had a whole life before Free Planet, but of course he wrote the obituary of that person. We'll be back.
Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression. Depression. The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price. Dramatically reduced. So you and your family have a long-term food solution. Solution. The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you right now. Right now. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Or gun clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity.
Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now 307-200-4503.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back, welcome back. And I want to thank listener Bob for sending me this article. A few days ago, when all of this TSA stuff began breaking, I told you guys the story about this escapee from a mental hospital who became a TSA agent. And, she had harassed me for years, literally impersonating me, impersonating Rumor Mill News, and then creating other blogs where she attacked Rumor Mill News. She'd write something over on her Rumor Mill News blog, then she'd write something attacking her Rumor Mill News blog, and it looked like I was fighting with her, when in actuality, she was fighting with herself. Well, one of the writers on Rumor Mill at the time tracked her down at the TSA and informed the TSA of who she was after she had just been awarded this huge award by the TSA. And then they were informed that she was an escapee from a mental institution. Well, listen to this. TSA employee accused of kidnap. Randall Scott King abducted a woman Wednesday from a parking lot in Atlanta International Airport. She was raped, and then she was released by her captor. Now, remember what I said about this woman being a nut. Her captor gave her a suicide note and instructions on where to deliver it, which she did, and then the Union City Police alerted the Hogansville police about the incident. They obtained search warrants and found him in his residence with what appeared to be self-inflicted wounds. He's now in the hospital. Now tell me, how would you like to be going through the strip search or the search, the pat down or whatever it is, and he's the guy that's doing it? He rapes her, then he tries to kill himself, but he gives her a note to take to somebody. This guy's nuts. And I know that woman that harassed me was nuts. How many more? How many more crazy people work at TSA?
Wow. Yes.
Years ago, I used to say that prison guards are given psychological tests, and only those who qualify as sadists are allowed to become prison guards. And I'm beginning to think that the only TSA people that are hired are the ones that are sociopaths and psychopaths. Wow. Are you having the same thing going on over there in England that we're having going on here?
Yeah, they're called policemen in England.
Your TSA, I don't even know what TSA stands for right at the moment. Traffic Safety Association or something like that.
Yeah.
But are your people literally putting their hands on breasts and on private parts and running it up and down the groin to the point that women feel like they're being raped?
Yes, of course. They're corporate stooges doing a job. They've got to do what they've been told or they'll lose their job. That's it.
Do you have any idea why this is happening? What's the real reason for it?
No, I don't. It's very confusing. There are a lot of questions as to, is it safety in the air? But there are hundreds and thousands of ways to get around any problem like safety in the air. I just don't really see the point of doing all this. But was it is it Chertoff who's got a really big hand in all these naked
it's
bodies?
It's Chertoff. Listen yeah. to this guy. Chertoff, who's supposed to be the ultra-right corporatist. Soros, who's supposed to be the ultra-left communist. Chertoff yeah. and Soros are the ones who own most of the stock in this company yeah. called Rapiscan. I call it Rape and Scan.
Rape and Scan. Funny as. Funny as.
And
sorry. Oh, Lordy, that's funny.
Well, I mean, look at this strange combination of Soros and Chertoff. The only thing they've got in common is they're both Jews. Oh, gosh, now I'm going to be banned from England because I've said something like that.
The J word.
Yeah. Hey, why was Michael Savage banned from England? Did you ever follow that?
No, I didn't really find out why that happened.
I know he was banned, but there was no reason that he was banned. He certainly has capitalized on it, though. And the thing about it, you know, before he became a radio talk show host, he was a microbiologist, and he had gone into a lot of the native forests, you know, in Borneo and places like that where white men never go. And many of his species, the species that he brought back, are stored at the London Arboretum. And so there is reason that he could go, that he would need to go to retrieve some of the samples that he'd put over there. And and I've actually wondered if it isn't maybe to keep him away from his samples rather than to, you know, rather than anything else. It's sort of like, what did he find that he doesn't even really know that he has found, and what are they trying to keep him from ever seeing again? So, interesting things, but...
Yeah.
In my case, I don't think that I dare go to Germany or England, not England, Germany or Austria, because they both have laws against people who question the Holocaust. And, of course, they call all Holocaust questioners Holocaust deniers. Well, you know, I do have questions about it, and I have talked about it. And so I think that I would probably end up in prison like many of the people who have been invited to Austria and Germany to do lectures, and they end up in prison for several years. Isn't that delightful?
That's so pleasant, isn't it?
I know. I love...
An invitation to jail. That's what, you know.
That's freedom of speech for you. And the Austrians and the Germans are supposed to pride this freedom of speech. How can they put so many people in jail? You know, just for their thoughts. Wow. Well, hey, we've only got about 20 minutes left. What haven't we talked about? What do you want to talk about?
What I was about to talk about at the last break was the best of him and Chim and Her, to be quite honest.
Oh, that's right.
Which was,
I found that over on Amazon. And it says, unknown they are my children, exodus, automatic love, chrome eater, crimson screens, there will always be, spawn of the cancer womb. No, these aren't his books. These are chapters in this book that he's going to talk about. So what is this book about?
This is a very interesting structure of a book. Have you ever... written something with someone else?
No, but I'm getting ready to do that. I'm getting ready to create a space on Rumor Mill News where writers are going to write one book. We're going to write a book together. And I've written the first chapter, and so we're going to finish it.
Okay. And well, it's a very similar idea to that, where you get, say a story is about 2,000 to 5,000 words, for example, I, writer A, would write 200 words and send it to writer B, who adds 200 words and sends it back to me. And I read what's been written, and then I add 200 words. It's like a child's game where you have the crumpled up paper, you draw the head, you fold the paper
down,
and then somebody draws the neck and the chest, and you fold the paper down, somebody draws the belly button, and it keeps going down through to the shoes. You can be very mischievous in the way you structure narrative on a structure like this. And the idea was I wrote with 8 female writers and 8 male writers from around the sort of the genre of horror or science fiction or fantasy. And we came up with these collaborations, and you'd have 2 people writing together, always myself with one of the writers. But it got to the point where we wanted to extend the formula a little bit and have myself writing with 3 other writers and writing with all 8 writers, and this whole round robin story would get round to the whole team twice at least. So it was all very, wow, very fun. And you can never tell where the story's going to go.
I have to read this. This is the very first sentence in this book. As I stand here before my altar of agar-plated petri dishes forming with pathogenic strains of bacterial cultures such as staphylococci, streptobacilli, gangrene, I can feel the ghosts of the medical pioneers of the Nazi death machine whispering to me in thickly accented voices. Relive our glory, they tell me, but their instruction is scant. I must fly alone. I take my victims by force. Wow, street kids, wow, prostitutes, homeless bums, anyone that won't be missed. I have a partiality to the female flesh. It seems to handle the agonies of pain with a greater threshold. Wow. Ooh, who would want to read that?
And do you know the worst thing about the whole collaboration, the best of Chim and Her, right?
Yeah.
Is the most properly disturbing and the most emotionally just terrifying stories were written in collaboration with women.
I can believe that.
The men are just wusses in comparison to the emotional involvement of a female writer. It's very strange. But well, good, you know, I mean, good experiment, but...
Yeah, I had not known that somebody else had this same idea. And so as soon as we get... we've got a private lounge, and you may get the joke here. It's called the Privy Council. Okay, what was the Privy Council? Americans won't know. But Brits may.
Brits may. And they must write in immediately to the show and tell us all what it means.
The Privy Council were the people around the first Queen Elizabeth. And it evolved into what you now call Parliament.
Indeed.
And our Privy Council is going to be made up of people who counsel other people.
On the privycouncil.org.uk website right now is the Right Honourable Nick Clegg.
You've got to be kidding. I didn't know that.
www.privy/council.org.
I think I only spelled mine with one V.
Yep.
C-O-U-N-S-C-E-L.
O-U-N-S-I-L. Yeah.
Okay, you see, I purposely spelled mine wrong. I spelled mine as a counselor rather than a council.
Yes, counsel.
And but that is really interesting. If you go to privycouncil.com, which will be my webpage, I don't even know where it goes anymore. No, it goes to something else.
Okay. yeah, it's privycouncil.org.
Yeah.
And there is our Nick Clegg. With royal charters. Council, Parliament, royal charters. I don't really see how that links. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm just taking up to look, find your Nick Clegg.
Oh, no, should be on the front page. Basically, I'll put it in the chat room. And
great. I'll get it out there. Because I think I must be spelling it wrong because I'm not finding it at all.
It's in the chat room right now.
So did you get it right now? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there it is. Look at that.
Click on that.
So everybody can see that. But this isn't my Privy Council. My Privy Council, I've forgotten how to spell it, so I can't find it. I love it when I do that. I take out a new domain name, and then I forget how to spell. And I'm trying to tell people to go look up my domain. Yeah, there it is, the Privy Council office. This is just amazing. I did not know that. And I came up with the Privy Council. You see, the Privy Councillors And that's how I spelled mine, counsel.
Yes.
As if it is in a
counselor. Like someone who's like, like counseling.
Because,
like
counseling. Because the world is getting ready to change. And literally the only people that are going to survive this change, and I don't know whether, I'm actually beginning to think we're going to have EMP blasts that's going to take out the modern world. And only the people that are prepared are going to be able to survive it. And that's why...
Well, let me ask a simple question. Can you grow potatoes, carrots, and onions yet? If you can't, you're not going to survive.
Oh, yes, I can. I absolutely can. And not only can I grow them out in the field, but I can grow them hydroponically out of bottles hanging in my windows.
Yes, so they're under sheltering,
I can grow enough zucchini to probably feed an entire block of people. And
well, those things are rampant anyway. You put one seed down and that's it.
I know.
People don't seem to get this, there should be no food shortage ever.
Well, you know, right after Thanksgiving, we've got this new bill called SB, Senate Bill 520 or 510. It's the one that
Banning private gardens, maybe?
That's the one. That's the one.
Nope.
I mean, that is just absolute insanity. And, you know, I have talked to my friends in higher places, and I have told them that they have got to stop that because what they will be producing is starvation. And I was reading this article, after 4 weeks of starving, you will eat anything, including your best friend.
Definitely.
Oh, I know there's a movie. I love to talk about movies. There's one called The Road. Have you seen The Road?
I haven't seen The Road yet. Why should I?
Well, it's about a father and son who are on the road headed somewhere. The son knows where he's going. He doesn't really know where he's going. It's in a post-apocalyptic world. We don't know exactly what happened, but every now and then they'll be walking across the earth and there'll be this huge explosion, and then you'll see an entire forest fall into the earth with great big huge fires going up.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I can think of is, you know, volcanoes and earthquakes and things like that.
Well, destroy the biblical imagery. Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing will grow. There's no sun. You know, there's so much ash in the sky. And so they're running out of food. Those who have guns are killing and eating those who don't have guns. Killing, raping, and then eating the raped woman that they had just raped. Really a very, very difficult movie to watch. But it's one of the scenarios that we could go into. I hate to say that, but it is.
And on a final note, as we're getting close to the 10 o'clock mark, 10 o'clock UK time, so I don't know what time. If people go to mikephilbin.blogspot.com and sort of scroll down to Thursday, November 18th, they may see the Newsweek cover. Did it actually come out in the States then, this Newsweek cover with Obama on the front with six arms like Shiva the Destroyer?
Oh,
did that actually happen? Did it happen?
Yes,
did it come out?
It did. Well, I never saw it on the newsstand, but I saw pictures of it on various places. What do you make of that?
I mean, he's in India doing deals.
I know.
You know? While our Cameron is in China doing deals. And get this. This is the best one I've found recently. Is that I'm going to go to the top of Free Planet here. And I'm going to scroll down just to the second item, which says, Obama's campaign advisor, Anita Dunn, is also Cameron's campaign advisor here in the UK, as far as getting both of them into the presidency of their respective countries. Anita Dunn, she is your communications director at the White House.
Yes, she was that, and she was the one that said that her two favorite people were Mother Teresa and Mao Zedong, who murdered over 100 million people.
Man, that is touching, isn't it?
And this is the woman who is advising our leaders? Oh, my God.
She got Obama and David Cameron into their respective corporate global roles. Well done, that girl.
Now, I wonder what kind of blackmail they've got on these two guys. You know that, or do you think that they do it? That they would do it even if they weren't blackmailed? You know, are they ideologically bent in such a direction that they would actually do that without being blackmailed?
I don't know. I suspect there are people out there in the corporate war machine who do spot potential in people and try to, you know, benefit from it for their own gains.
Now, Clegg, wasn't he... Was it Cameron or Clegg that was raised in China? Which one?
Oh, no. David Cameron worked at the HSBC, which is the Hang Seng Bank of, you know, China.
But didn't he go to school over there as a young boy?
I don't know. But I certainly know that he was working over at the HSBC.
The reason that I ask this is our Secretary of the Treasury, Geithner, Timothy Geithner,
yes?
Speaks perfect Chinese, lived there for many, many years, and it's sort of like if Clegg or Cameron, whichever one of them it was, if he spent a part of his youth there, and Obama spent a part of his youth in Indonesia.
Yes.
Isn't that telling us all something? I can't quite put it together.
I will go back to the amazing and brilliant and underrated books of Philip K. Dick, who said that the Chinese will invade and they will claim your country as their own.
And John Hersey
in the 50s.
Yeah, John Hersey in the 60s wrote a book called White Lotus, and it is about the destruction of America by the Chinese, and the Chinese roving bands of slave traders come in, grab the youngest and the strongest of the white race and take them back to China as slaves. And John Hersey was in the in crowd, probably a member of the Council of Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
Wow. I think they knew what was happening. Oh, dear. I'm so glad that I'm not young and fit. They wouldn't want me as a slave anymore. They just shoot me.
What a way to put it.
Or maybe they'll eat me, you know?
Yeah.
God knows.
Bags of spies. Yeah.
Fortunately, I believe in God, and I know that my body is just like an automobile. And when it's ready to go off to the junkyard, it goes off to the junkyard, but I go on.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I have really enjoyed this, and somebody
really
in the chat room... Yeah, someone in the chat room said, I am having so much fun. I'm really enjoying this. So we'll have to get you back on. Talking more about your books. Boy, those books are something else. Have you recorded any of them? Do you have any talking books yet?
I actually, no. There was a friend of mine who got a whole production going of one of the stories. That was quite a nice, very nice sort of science fiction production of one of the stories. It's called The Most Heinous Crime, and it's set in the future. Uh-huh. And it's about... Wow. It's about a police state set in a mushroom-cited future.
Is it online? Is it online anywhere?
Yeah, just type in The Most Heinous Crime.
Okay, I'll do that, and I'll see if I can find it.
It'll be there as a sort of... I think it's a download. You might have to pay something for it, but it's only like $1 or so.
I see it. Well, thank you, Mike.
Have you got
it? I can sort of hear the music, but I can't quite. But I'm sure that it's time that I need to say bye, everybody. David and Field and I will see you all tomorrow. And so, Mike, you've got to come into our chat room tomorrow and keep us on our toes.
Will do.
Thanks so much for being the show.
Thanks for the invite, really.
Okay, see you all tomorrow with David and Field.